You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Umar Ahmed for IFL TV in association with MTK Global. I'm joined by trainer Dominic Ingle. Dom, looks like new additions have joined your gym recently. Just tell me quickly about Danny Morrell and also Bradley Skeet. How are they getting on?
Yeah, you know, Danny's doing well. He had his first fight the other day. Boxed really well. Dave's showed him every trick in the book. He looks smooth. He got all the moves. And, you know, Dave's done a great job with him to this point, but he obviously needs somebody to take him to the next level. So he's moved down to the gym, into the gym, you know, sparring and training with better quality lads. You need to train with somebody when you're that young. You know, work out, get the ideas off him. So Danny's doing well and he's on his way and he's travelling from Doncaster every day. Bradley Skeet's in the gym. You know, he's had 2 years off. He's dropped about a stone while he's been here in the last 4 weeks. He's looking for something in the new year. You know, I said, well, we'll have a look at what you've got. We'll do a little bit of open sparring and see what you've got left. His style always interested me because he's got a good defensive kind of angle style anyway, hit and not get hit kind of style, which is always good to see. So, you know, always been an admirer of his, and he's found his way up to the gym and he's enjoying it.
How did Bradley Skeet end up there?
How did he end up? Well, he used to speak to my dad at the Boxing Writers Meet Awards every year, and a few kids from the gym, and he always kept in contact with them. And I think one day he just found his way up here, just came up and gave it a try. And, you know, he's working out for him so far. He's knuckling down, he's doing the work, he's enjoying it, rejuvenated. So, you know, who knows? He's a quality operator. He can fight, and he has got a good style. And maybe he's got a year or two left, or one or two fights. We'll only know when he steps back in that ring.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it's been a long time out for Bradley, but good to see him back in the sport. How much do you think he's got left in him, Dom? Or can we only tell that after he fights?
You know what? Looking at him training, I think he'll be fighting at 11 stone. He's got plenty. He's competitive with the kids. He's got good time, and he's good at the body sparring. Good runs, competitive and everything, and he's listening and learning. And you can generally tell with fighters, you know, when they've got nothing left. And I think the 2 year layoff has probably done him good, probably lost a little bit of interest. And for boxers, they need something new sometimes, they need to be rejuvenated, take a bit of a step back, see how much they miss it, and then recommit. And like I said, we'll know from his first open spar, I think. We'll give him a little bit of sparring, we'll see how well he's doing. And then he's looking for the right fight.
Before we talk about the rest of the fighters at your gym, I do want to talk to you about last night where Kell Brook got stopped by Terence Crawford. Your just the assessment of the fight, please, Dom.
Look, it was going to be an hard fight for Kell. You know, especially going into that fight, doing it yourself more or less. You know, it doesn't matter what people say. At the end of the day, you've got to know a fighter. I've known Kell a long time. And you've got them type of fights. You've got to have the right team around you, keeping you on track. It's no good people just pumping you up and telling you what you want to hear. And, you know, it's calling you champ or whatever you're doing. That's nothing. It's all to do with the training we kill, but it's always what's happening in the training camps. And, you know, look at the fight he had with Errol Spence and Golovkin. He's only lost to the top guys, but he was always competitive in those fights. Last night, he looked good for two rounds. He did look good. He looked sharp. He didn't really get hit. But you have to understand that Terence was, you know, going in his non-preferred style. He came out orthodox. And whether that was to throw Kell or just to gauge Kell, but, you know, imagine having the confidence to do that. You're winning with Kell Brook and you're going out in your non-favourable stance. And maybe that's why Kell won the first two rounds. Maybe, you know, Crawford having the confidence to do that when he did switch southpaw gave him more confidence. And Kell is good with southpaws. Look, he's boxed plenty of southpaws. Errol Spence being one of the best. But he got caught with a shot, what Kell usually catches other people with. You know, he's knocked a lot of people out with the same shot. It's a bit ironic, really. And if you look at the slow motion clip, he didn't even blink. He didn't move his head. The shot was well timed, or Kell just didn't see it coming. And how often do you see Kell stumble halfway across the ring into the ropes? If you look at the times he got caught by Golovkin and Senchenko, he caught the shot, wobbled a little bit, righted himself. He had a clear vision of the opponent in front of him. But last night, he kind of tucked up on the ropes and covered up and gave Crawford time to close him down again. So, you know, for me, I don't think Kell's shot. I just think it's a case of that, like I've said time and time and time again, when you're losing weight, you can lose weight. Kell's, you always get down to that weight. But when you start losing water from your muscles and in your body, it starts taking it from your brain. It starts dehydrating your brain. You can't really have that when you're getting older. So it doesn't matter whether you've made the weight all right. The recovery process of rehydrating your body and making sure that your brain's rehydrated again, maybe that can't be done in 24 or 26 or 30 hours at that older age. When you're younger, maybe so, and it has been done by Kel. When he boxed at 11 stone, you're not dehydrating your body and your brain that much. So he got hit with a decent shot, a well-timed shot, but it's nothing of the power of Golovkin or Errol Spence. And it almost had, that was the beginning of the end for him. So I think it was always going to be a risk going back down to 10-7. That's why fighters move up as they get older. Kel has got a tremendous chin. So maybe he should never have gone down to 10-7, but if the fight's there, he's chanced his arm and it's not worked out for him.
Do you think the stoppage was fair, Dom?
Yeah, because, you don't often see Kel in that position. Like I say, when he gets caught with a shot, even against Golovkin and Sinchenko, he balanced himself to the rope, got the clear vision, his head cleared instantly, and then he fought back. But there was none of that this time. There was no even holding or grabbing or trying to be defensive or anything. He just turned and covered up and got hit with shots. And it made it an easy job for Crawford, to be honest. It was disappointing. I don't mean disappointing that he got beat. It was just disappointing to see him go out that way, really. Because, Kel has got a lot more than that.
If Kel does decide to carry on, do you think he can only operate at 154, Dom?
Yeah, it's too much. It's a big ask getting down to that weight. Like I said, Kel has got a lot of determination. Can't fault him for that. The training camps he did with me, he put everything in. He always put 100% in. But you just can't beat Father Time sometimes. You just can't. In his own minds, even I'm 50-odd, we all think we can do what we do when we're 21. But the reality is we can't. And like I've always said, the disappointing thing for me is I honestly do believe that Kel Brook was the best at 147. He would beat them all in his prime. But just stuff, through his career, the setbacks, the accidents, the stabbings, all that kind of stuff, it takes its toll on your body. And, that's what set Kel back. Look how Sean Porter did after getting beat by Kelly. Came back stronger, good fight, which Kel failed to do. So it's sad, really, because I do think that Kel had the beating of a lot of them. The cards, just didn't fall right for him, or the dice, or whatever you want to say.
Whatever Kel decides to do next, we wish him the best in whatever he does. Dominic, what is the situation with Willie Hutchinson and Lerone Richards?
Yeah, I've seen the fights on. I spoke to Frank Warren and his team, and the date set for December, the first weekend in December.
Yeah.
So everything's quiet at the minute, but whether that's down to COVID, I don't know. Everybody's keeping tight lips about everything. Everybody's training behind closed doors and keeping the cards close to the chest. So we're training for a fight. We're training for the British title fight. Lerone Richards says he's having the fight, so that's good enough for us. But we are definitely fighting on that day.
Okay, and you believe it's not too soon for Willie?
No, listen, he's had 13 fights now. He was an amateur, world amateur champion, but that doesn't really count for a great deal in the pro game because it's a different game. But it just shows the level he's got. He sparred Lerone, he sparred Shaq Peters, he sparred Boatse, he sparred all these guys. So, look, sparring, but to be able to get in with those guys in the first place and have decent spars and just the way he is now, he's ready for that fight.
Hopeful to see your man Liam Williams in against Demetrius Andrade early next year, Dominic?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, Liam's back up. He's been training in Wales, ticking over, but he's back up tomorrow to start back. And we're going to have a good long talk because it's going to be over the Christmas period, which is always going to be difficult for fighters. It's always a difficult time. But, we're going to have to sit down and work out the plan and expect that fight probably sooner than later. I don't think Eddie's going to do Liam any favours and give him the exact date. He's going to keep him hanging, but that's all part of the game. Andrade is his man, but Liam's there, to upset the apple cart, and he's had a great 2 years, Liam Williams. He's done really well. And so it's a case of keeping Liam on track and getting to that world title shot and hopefully winning it.
Haven't heard anything from Kid G or any news on him recently.
It's funny you should say that, because at this minute while I'm doing this interview, he just tried calling me. Can you still see me?
No, you've gone.
So he's gonna mess that call up for us, anyway. I don't know what they're doing their videos there. But like, I've got myself up in the picture. Don't know what we're gonna do about that. Well, there we are.
You're back.
he's doing it again. I wish he'd stop with it, but he can't. I can't answer that call and whatever. But anyway, so yeah, he's still training. We're still sorting out with Eddie what we're going to do about this Warrington fire. They want to do the Kanzu. So, you know, Kanzu and Warrington were stipulated by the IBF to go on by the end of November. You know, and that's not going to happen. So we're having to work around that because we need to look out for the best interest of Kid Gallagher, you know, regardless of what Josh Warrington's doing. So, you know, Barry's in the gym. He's always on an even keel. He's always training. He's always, you know, 80% fit and ready to strike. Yeah, but he's, the next time he boxes for that world title fight, he's got to win it. So we've got to do what's the best for Barry.
Any new songs coming out?
Sorry?
So any new songs coming out? Any new tracks?
Yeah, no, I've done songs. I mean, I've got 7 or 8 done, and I was down in London the other week with Danny from The Script, and we wrote a song. We've done a bit of work together, and it's really the time for releasing music at the minute. It's not the right time unless you're a big star. And you know, Fast Car already was a great song. I'm still getting people commenting on it now. There's more serious songs coming out. So you know, it will be coming out. But really, boxing's always going to take precedent, and I'm busy with the boxing. And you know what you're thinking in the times of COVID, it'd be a bit slower and a bit slowed down, but it's not. It's actually, you've got to keep on it more because these fighters, you know, they're thinking, well, nothing's happening. We can do this and we can mooch around a little bit, but you've got to keep them on it and keep them, you know, but something's got to be regular in the life, and that's got to be training. So it's like, you know, we're training for fights, but we're not getting paid. But we've got to keep them on track because the chances will come. It's only the, really, when you're looking at Omar, you'll know better than me, it's only elite level fighters fighting. I don't feel sorry for these kids, prospects who are trying to come through with no big promoter, who are, you know, relying on ticket deals. It's almost stopped their careers. Luckily, I only deal with high-end operators, so it's working out all right for me at the minute. So, you know, it's all boxing for me at the minute. But like I say, yeah, I've still got some songs to come out. They're all ready to go. They're all done. So yeah, it'd be interesting, to say the least.
Okay, Dominic Ingle, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV. I'll let you go and call Kid Gallagher now, and I'm sure I'll see you during Willie Hutchinson fight week.
No problem, nice to meet you. What's
up, man? Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.